Lachim Aleph Perak Beis Pasuk Chav Vav. Lev Yosar Koyin Omar Amelech Anosoi Slech El Sadecha Kish Maves Ata. So Shlomo is not taking care of all the people who are not loyal to David Amelech. One after the other. First he deals with Adon Yo, he kills him, but again, he's doing it in a very smart way. He's not just like the second he becomes king, starts killing, rampaging, just murdering everybody. No. He needs to have some kind of reason, some kind of incentive in order to kill them. So then he took care of him once he asked to marry Avishag, which was a clear sign that he's trying to rebel. He wants to marry a woman who served the king. And now he's going to deal with Avyosar. Now Avyosar, he's not going to kill him. Even though Avyosar joined, what did Avyosar do wrong? Avyosar joined Adon Yo. So he's now telling Avyosar, well, Avyosar Koyin, he's telling him Anosais. He came from a place called Anosais. Anosais was the only place where the Kohanim lived. Right, we find that in Yeshua. And so he's telling him, go home. You deserve to die, but however, I'm not going to kill you. Today I'm not going to kill you because you suffered together with my father. Meaning what? What's he referring to when he says that you carried the Aron Hashem? That's referring to the time when, first of all, when did Avyosar join David in the first place? When was the first time they were together? The first time they were together was after Shaul killed Noiv Yerkoyani.
Yeah,
right. When Doegai Domi told him that Noiv is supporting David, and he went out and killed them, Avyosar was the only Kohen who managed to escape. And obviously after that, he was very loyal to David because he hated Shaul. Shaul killed out his whole city.
He came with the armor.
With?
Orim Batumim.
Yeah, so exactly. So he came with the Orim Batumim. And every time David faced a serious challenge, a major decision, he would consult the Orim Batumim, which was carried by Avyosar. And that's how he would know what to do. And over here, what Shlomo is referring to, he's saying, you were the one who carried the Aron of Hashem. He's referring to the time when Avshalom rebelled against David and Melech. And David told him, first, Avyosar came and joined him with the Aron Batumim, with the Aron. And he wanted to leave Yerushalayim to go with him, wherever David HaMelech was running away to. But David HaMelech stopped him. He told Avyosar, no, it's not covered to the Aron Hashem that it should be traveling like this, out in the open, without any entourage. You should go back to Yerushalayim and stay with Aron Hashem.
What was the... he says, you were afflicted and no harbor, and my father was afflicted. Besides carrying the oven,
meaning because you were willing to suffer with my father.
I mean,
David.
What did he suffer from? When we know David.
When he ran away from Avshalom.
Huh?
He's referring to the time when he ran away from Avshalom. When he was willing to carry the Aron with David, when he was running away from Avshalom, that's what he's referring to. Even though you didn't actually go with him, but because you were willing to. It's considered as if he did it. Yeah. So because you suffered with everything David was inflicted, I'm not going to kill you. He shoot him away. He's not going to be called the Kohen to Hashem anymore. This is completing the nevuah, the punishment against Beis Eli. Remember the Kohanim of Beis Eli,
The sons
of Eli were accused of either being intimate with the women, of the Jewish people, or another pshat we said was that when they came to have Emira checked, they would let them wait for a long time. And because they let them wait for a long time, it's considered as if they were intimate with them. Even though they didn't actually were intimate with the women, because they had to wait a long time before they went home to their husbands, we consider that as if they were intimate, and therefore they got a punishment that basically will not be a prominent line in the among the Kohanim. Rather, they're always going to be like those on the sidelines, those extra Kohanim that are sitting on the bench on the sidelines.
They're not. Did ever some that they used to go to the people who pay him more than. They didn't administer to everybody equally.
Right.
They went to the people who give them more money. Is that true?
Yeah, it's called pay to play.
That's one of the things that they did wrong.
Yeah. right. Yeah, there was a whole laundry list of things that they did wrong. And this was their punishment. Right, it's called pay to play. So meaning what when it says that he kicked him out, it's referring to being a Kohen Gadol. Right? Meaning he was not Kohen Gadol anymore, he was still a Kohen, but they're on the sidelines. They're gonna be part of other major Kohanim, major households of Kohanim. They're not gonna be considered their own prominent household of Kohanim. And so this is the beginning of the. So now we're actually starting, because until now, he was a Kohen Gadol, even though he came from Beis Eli. So now is the beginning of this curse taking place. So now, Shlomo took care of Adonio. He took care of Aviasar. And now, Yoav hears about it. Yoav hears about it, and let's see what he does. Vashmua ba ad Yoav. The rumor traveled all the way to Yoav. Which rumor? The rumor that Adonio was killed and that Aviasar was kicked out of his position. Right? So what does the pasuk say? Ki Yoav nata acharei Adonio v'achareiv Shalom loy nata. Sounds like this is part of his fault. The fact that he followed Adonio and he did not follow Avshalom, it sounds like that's a derogatory remark about him. But it should be a positive thing, right? He only went after Adonio. He did not follow Avshalom at all. That should be a positive point for him, right?
But he killed him.
Right. Okay. So that's one shot. The Ralbag explains that "Bleinot acharei Avshalom" means that he ended up killing him. He did not follow him in order to save him; rather, he ended up killing him. But that's not the simple pshat of the pasuk. When the pasuk says "acharei Avshalom loinata," that means that he did not follow Avshalom, right? It says "ki yoav not acharei Adonio," he followed Adonio. And he did not follow Avshalom, right? So what's so bad about not following Avshalom? It's a good thing. Why does the pasuk consider it to be a derogatory remark? So
this is avatar. This is Kohen. Avatar. It's Kohen.
Avatar was a Kohen. Yes, he was a Kohen Gadol.
No, yeah, no. But my question. If king has a right to remove Kohen Gadol from position,
yeah,
this is he. How is Kohen Gadol? He is not elected. This is king usually.
Yeah, in a kingship, there is no There's no separation of power. The king makes all calls, all the shots. He can do whatever he wants.
It's next. Next cousin girl is not son of previous.
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily at all. Okay, so let's see a few pshatim so we can understand what it means over here. What does it mean that he did not follow Avshalom? So the Ralbag explains, like you said, that it means that he did not follow him in order to save him, rather he ended up killing him. The Malbim explains like this. Malbim says that meaning, why would he follow Danio? He would follow Danio, naturally, because he felt that he is the Bechar. He is the first, he's the next one in line to be the king, after David. So therefore, you would follow him, right? It only makes sense. There's nothing wrong with it. David was very old at that time, right? It was very evident that he was about to die imminently. And he figured, okay, Daniel is going to be the next king, I might as well join him. Right? And he's the Bechar. He deserves to be king. Right? However, the fact that he did not follow Avshalom, that shows that when he followed Daniel, it was not because he thought he was the next one in line. Because if that was the case, then he would follow Avshalom too.
That's right.
Avshalom was the next one in line.
Yeah.
He should have been king next, right? But not only did he not follow Avshalom, he even killed him. That shows us that his intentions were different. It wasn't because he figured, okay, this guy is the next in line, he's the oldest, therefore I'm going to follow him. Obviously he had an ulterior motive. Come, please join us. Obviously he had an ulterior motive. And therefore, the fact that he followed Adonio and did not follow Avshalom, that's a negative remark about him.
Well, that shows that that's not the reason.
Right.
No, Avshalom was against his father. And here he's siding with someone that wants to upset the apple cart with Shlomo.
This guy is not following his father either. he's not following either.
He's a general. Right. And his mother is probably crying to her brother, David HaMelech, it's my son,
Right. Right. So,
who knows?
Yeah, so so why did he really follow Danio? He followed Danio because he was afraid of Shlomo. He knew that Shlomo was going to be the next king, and he was afraid that Shlomo would avenge the death of Amasa, right? The fact that he killed Amasa and Avner. And therefore he wanted to avoid that by supporting Danio, hoping that he would be the next king instead of Shlomo. That was his real intention. That was his ulterior motive. And therefore, that's why he really supported Adonio. So that's the pshat of the Malbim. The Radak brings down two other pshatim. The Radak explains like this. So now, we have to figure out, it's very confusing, who is considered to be a rebel and who's not a rebel, right? Because we find that some people went against David HaMelech, and David HaMelech protected them, right? And other people went against David HaMelech, and David HaMelech ended up killing them. where do we find that? See, when Yoel was thinking, his thought process was as follows. Right, when he heard that Adonio and Avyasar were punished, he was afraid for himself. Why? Because he followed Adonio, and he did not follow Avshalom. Why? Because if he would have followed Avshalom, right, and would not follow Adonio, meaning if the situation was the opposite, then there's nothing for him to be afraid of. Why? Because he could say, listen, all the Jewish people supported Avshalom, right? It wasn't only me. I just went with the will of the people. Everyone supported him. It was a major movement among the Jewish people, right? So I just went with the flow, right? There's nothing for me. There's nothing to blame him for, right? Because we find that Amasa, right? he was the Sartsava of Avshalom. He was a general of Avshalom. Did David Melech punish him? No, he did not. He appointed him to be his own general. Right? Which is very interesting. He was the one who led the rebellion, meaning not him, but Avshalom led it, but Amasa was a general who led the army that was going to fight David Melech. David Melech not only did he not punish him, but he appointed him to be the next general. Right? So if the situation was the opposite, that Yoav would support Avshalom, then he would be fine.
Well, but then it's not considered Moreh Melachus. I mean, why would it be fine? Because he figured that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, everyone was joining him. Everyone was joining Avshalom. So he figured, you know, listen, if everybody's joining him, right, I'm just another one in the bunch, right? Mm. There are many, many government officials, many important, prominent figures who were supporting Avshalom, right? So if you have, we see, and we find that Amasa was not punished for being the general of Avshalom.
Well, what is the reason for that? I mean, you're coming out for a reason. Why?
So
it would have been okay. Why? What's the schus that they have not to be killed, even though they went against David?
Right. So that's a good question. It seems like because all the Jewish people were following Avshalom, meaning it wasn't clear at the time who should be king, right? If Avshalom should be king or David should be king, right? It wasn't obvious that David is not king, because after all, Avshalom was the next in line. He gathered a major movement, right? And we see that he even had the Sanhedrin on his side. Right, so for a person, for a standby, a person who was, you know, standing on the side, he might figure, okay, maybe he's going to be the next king. There's no real reason that's telling him otherwise. That's why David HaMelech did not hold, we find that he did not punish anyone. He did not even want to punish Avshalom, right? He wanted yeah. to keep him alive,
yeah.
Right? Everybody who joined that rebellion did not get punished, because it was very unclear that this is in fact a rebellion. It looked very, very natural that Avshalom should now be taking the place of David HaMelech. Right? So now Yoav is taking this into consideration, and he knows that if he would have supported Avshalom and not Adonio, then he would have been fine. Right? Just like Amasa was fine. Now, before Adonio was killed, he wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid either, because he was not aware what David told Shlomo to take care of Adonio, right? So he figured, listen, Adonio, Shlomo told Adonio in the beginning, Loipol Masaras Roshay Arza, right? When Daniel came to him and made him promise that he's not going to hurt him, he said, yeah, don't worry, I'm not going to hurt anything, you'll be fine, everything is okay. Right? So you have heard about that, and he figured, okay, fine, great, you know? Just like no one was punished in the first rebellion, when Avshalom rebelled, so too, the second rebellion of Adoniyahu, no one's going to be punished. Right? Adoniyahu himself is not being killed. No, nothing is being done to him. So I should be fine too. Right? However, when he heard that Adoniyahu was killed, and that Shlomo kicked Avyasar out from being a Kohen, and then he ran over to the Aron Hashem. Right, he ran over to the Mizbeach.
What did he... Now, Daniel, he was killed because we found out that he really was more of a Malchus.
Yeah, well, he continued the rebellion.
Because he wanted to marry
Abishai,
and to show he should be king now, even though now people know that he's supposed to be a king, right?
Right.
So it's worse than the first one.
Right. Right.
Okay. So now, so he followed Nadanoyo him too?
He followed what?
Did he follow him?
Who,
what we're talking about.
Wait, did he follow Adonio?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He did follow Adonio.
He did follow Daniel. But I'm trying to see what the difference is between if he followed up Sheldon, it's not so bad, but following up Daniel, it was terrifically bad. Well, the whole thing is picking out that before, people didn't know. Afterwards, people knew already. It's out.
Right.
So, if he follows the first one was a mistake. Okay, you make a mistake, alright. Mm-hmm. The second one, already, he was against him, right?
Right.
Oh, that's so... The
yeah.
So, and he followed him, he said, uh-oh, they're going to get me too.
now... Now again, Shlomo is not just going to kill everyone the second he becomes king. He needs to have some kind of incentive, some reason, right? Something that will push him in that direction and cause it, and so he can have some kind of excuse why he wants to kill these people who went against David. So now that Shlomo found out that Yoav ran over to the Mizbeach in order to save himself, right? He said, okay, there we go. Right? Now I have my reason. Now I have my reason, because obviously the fact that he's running away and he's holding on to the Mizbeach, he's trying to save himself. Why is he trying to save himself? Because he's still in that mindset, in that process of rebelling against me, rebelling against W, rebelling against me. The fact that he's trying to save himself by holding on to the Mizbeach shows that he's still in that rebellion. Therefore,
it shows he's afraid of what? He's afraid that he's really supposed to be killed because of what he did.
Right, meaning he knows that he did the wrong thing.
But if he didn't do that,
right, then he might think, okay, you know, so obviously he's innocent.
People say, well, what he did, he made a mistake.
Right, he made a mistake.
Just like the other.
Exactly. Okay. But now that he's trying to protect himself,
shows
clearly...
shows colors.
Right, exactly. That shows us exactly what he's all about.
But why... What does it mean he want to be safe near his bear?
The halacha is... you have made a mistake. Generally, the halacha is that anyone that... if a Kohen is in the middle of doing the Avodah, and he's on top of the Mizbeach, you're not allowed to take him away from the Mizbeach in order to kill him. Even if he is Chayav Misa, even if he does deserve the death penalty, you're not allowed to kill him.
Until you in the Mizbeach.
And when he's on the Mizbeach, yes.
Yeah, but he wasn't doing anything.
Right, so he made a mistake. He figured, right. He did not know the halacha well.
That doesn't save him just because he's holding on.
First of all, you have to be on top. You have to be on top, not on the side. You have to be a kohen who's doing an avoida. He was not a kohen who was doing that avoida. Third of all, the only mizbeach that will save him is mizbeach in the base of Migdash.
Right.
And not a a temporary mizbeach, which is what we're talking about here. It was in the Oil Mod, but it was not it was only temporary until the base of Migdash was going to be built by Shlomo. So there's another reason that's brought down over here. The Radak brings down, he says that when it says Acharei Avshalom Lo Nata, that he did not follow Avshalom, so Chazal Darshan, they say Bigash Lintois V'lo Nata, meaning he wanted to follow Avshalom. That's what he wanted to do deep down in his heart, but he was afraid. Why was he afraid? Because when Avshalom rebelled, David HaMelech was still very mighty, very strong. He wasn't old yet, right? He was still still a very prominent king. And he figured, listen, it's not, you know, what Avshalom is doing now is bad timing. David HaMelech is still holding on strong. Therefore, even though I want to rebel against David HaMelech, I'm not going to. Right? However, when Danyo rebelled against David HaMelech, that was when David HaMelech was old. He was in his bed. He couldn't move. So then Yoav said, now is the perfect opportunity. Now I'm going to rebel against him. So even though he did not rebel against Avshalom, that was also considered to his detriment, because even though he did not rebel against David with Avshalom, but he wanted to, and therefore it's held against him, even though he didn't. So there's one more pshat here that Rabbi Avram Ibn Ezra brings down, that he did not support Avshalom because he did not think that he deserves to be king. And he thought the same about Shlomo. He thought that Shlomo also does not deserve to be king. That's why he supported Adonijo. So that's why it's considered to be a very, very difficult rebellion.
But couldn't he... Figured what happened to Avshalom, his end was. So how can you? I mean, his end was because he rebelled. Even though he was a son, he rebelled. So how can he figure now he'll rebel with the other one? How can he justify doing that?
Rebelling with Adonijo?
Yeah. How can he justify going with him now? Even he didn't go with Avshalom. Well, he did. He went, but he saw what happened there. He's dead. So he should have figured the same thing's going to happen to Adonijo too. I mean.
Right. Meaning, why didn't he learn the lesson?
Yeah.
From
why
Avshalom?
Did he learn the lesson from Avshalom? I mean, it's only, you know. He went for him. He's dead now. And I start supporting this guy. What's going to happen to me is the same thing.
Right. Well, again, like we saw before, that he
could have
explained.
Before he does this, before he runs, before he gets, he's running for his life because he figures he's had it. But why didn't think of this before?
When he supported Adonijo?
Yeah. Why?
Because he thought that David HaMelech is now he's on his deathbed. Right. That's it. He's almost dead. You know, so nothing's going to happen if I rebel against him now.
Oh, he was wrong.
Once a Democrat, always a Democrat. Not going to change someone's over.
Right.
You got your mindset one way, you're right. The other guy is wrong. You're never going to...
Yeah, so, but no, but we see...
That's the way it is.
But we see when he did it, he didn't think he was gonna get punished for anything.
Right. Right.
But now all of a sudden he realizes he was wrong, and he couldn't think, he couldn't realize that before.
No, he went home.
You know, he sees what happened to the first one. The same thing's going to happen to the. All right.
Yeah.
You know, what made him think he was going to be saved?
You know, Koyrach came home.
Well, with the Mizbeach?
Well, but he didn't know the halacha.
He didn't know well enough. He knew that there was halacha that he was saved by the Mizbeach.
Right.
But he did not know came home to his wife, and his wife egged him on. Oin ben Pelas came home, and she said, "Hey, what the heck are you doing?"
Right.
And she saved him.
Yeah.
Your mind is set one way, and sometimes someone can change you. And the only one that's going to change your mind is your wife, because she's the boss of the house.
Exactly. Exactly, and that's the way it works. So let's see what happens. V'yigal l'melech Shloima, you have another 5 minutes. V'yigal l'melech Shloima, kinos yoyav el oyal Hashem. V'yine etzal mizbeach. Shloima is now told that Yoav ran over to oyal Hashem, and he's now by the mizbeach. V'yishlach Shloima is b'nayo ben Yahiyo, the le'mar lech p'gaboy. He sends b'nayo to go and see, right, who's now the Kohen Gadol. He sends him to see, he told him to go kill him. V'yav b'nayo el oyal Hashem. Right? So Neil tells Yoav, the king told you to come out. No, I refuse to come out. I want to die over here. And then he goes back to the king and repeats the whole conversation. Now, obviously, there was more to the conversation than just, king wants you to come out. No, I don't want to come out. Obviously, there was more than that, because the pasuk says that he went back to the king and he says, oh, this is what I told you, this is what he answered me. Obviously, there was more that was going on over there.
It says over here, what was he thinking?
Who, Yoav?
When he grabbed hold. I mean, he wasn't going to help. He says now over here that he says, if he kills me outside, he'll take away all my property.
Right.
But if I get killed in there, he won't touch. My ears won't lose anything.
Right? Why? Because the halacha is that haruge beistin, someone who's killed. Someone who's killed by the king. All of his possessions go to the king.
No.
Right. However, if he's killed by beistin, then his positions go to his
children.
His children, yeah. Oh. Right? That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make sure that Shloima does not benefit from his death. Because if Shloima kills him, then he's gonna all his possessions are gonna go to the king. And he wants to avoid that. Right? Not only that, but there's another issue over here that he wants to deal with, and we're gonna end with this because it's almost time for Maariv. The other issue is that he wants to make sure that he's going to be buried with his family. So the thing is that if you're judged by a Beis Din, then if you're judged by a Beis Din, then the halacha is he's not going to be buried with his family, right? So he wants to avoid both. He wants to both avoid both being killed by the king, because then his possessions are going to go to the king, and he does not want that. He wants to avoid being judged by a basin, by the Sanhedrin, because if he's going to be judged by the Sanhedrin and killed by the Sanhedrin, then he's not going to be buried with his family. Right? Therefore, he says, no, I'd rather die over here in the Mizbeach, therefore I'm not going to be considered to be killed by the king. I'm not going to be considered to be killed by a Beis Din, and then I'm going to get best of both worlds.
He wanted to delay the execution.
Right, so right. That's another reason that's brought down.
So
that's another reason that's brought down. Okay, we'll stop over here, because it's time for Maariv. We'll continue from here next week.
So what did they do? We just...